And Warwick Hadfield joins us now with some sports news. Hi, Warwick.
Hi there, Fran.
In rugby union, the Wallaroo captain, Liz Patu, we talked about this yesterday, she's pleaded guilty to biting her opponent and she has been suspended just for 6 weeks.
Yeah, Fran, look, pleaded guilty and facing a 12-week or 12-match suspension. She threw herself at the mercy of the judicial officer, Chris Newton, who took into account her obvious remorse and her previous good character, halving the penalty. Now, she apologised to the woman she bit. That was WA's Rebecca Clough. She said she'd never been involved in an incident like it before at all of the levels at which she'd played the game, and she would ensure that once she's allowed back to play rugby football again, that such an offence would never reoccur. Now, the first game she will miss, though, it's going to be a big one. This is going to be hard for Liz Patu sitting on the sidelines watching this. Her Queensland teammates playing New South Wales in the Go You Good Thing annual clash, which also features the men this weekend as well, Fran.
You can see the, I just saw the footage actually of the bite. You can see it pretty clearly in the some kind of scrum or something, isn't it?
Well, it's at the bottom of a ruck, but yeah. the interesting thing was the referee didn't see it, but the crowd saw it because the referee was on the other side of the action. But it went up on the big screen, and once you're up on the big screen, throwing yourself on the mercy of the courts is a very good idea.
No getting out from under it then. In rugby league, meanwhile, don't look there, look over here. The NRL floats the idea of the 10-team final series.
Yeah, Fran, yesterday's release of this idea of a wild card weekend, it could be construed as look here, not there, as yet another sex tape involving rugby league players has found its way onto social media amid rumours of more to come. The sex tape is now the matter of investigation for the NRL Integrity Unit. It involves the Penrith Club, which is blaming a former player for the sex tape finding its way into the public arena, while the NRL is again finding itself blaming immature and irresponsible players for yet another embarrassment to the code. Last week, we will remember, who could forget, following what's been a summer horribilis, the sport handed out myriad penalties for inappropriate behaviour, some alleged criminal behaviour, others socially improper behaviour. Now, the aim of the wildcard weekend, getting back to that, is to have a playoff between teams in 9th and 10th place. They would play against those which are 7th and 8th for a spot in the final 8. So the top 6 would go through automatically, then the next 4 would vie for the last 2 positions. And the idea...
Why is that fair?
Why is it fair? It's a huge argument going on in the sport of rugby league right now.
I'm just joining in now.
Yeah, well, because what's happening is there is these so-called dead matches. The teams, just out of the top 8 who can't make it at the moment.
I get it.
So no one watches it on television. Mm. No one goes along to the games. So what the NRL is proposing that if 2 more teams can still play finals, their supporters will get behind them for the last couple of games of the season, perhaps, and there'll be more people watching them on television.
Okay, so the wooden spooners aren't relegated sort of 2/3 of the way through the season, that's it.
That's it, Fran. It's not a bad idea, but look, I can remember, it used to be 4 in both the NRL or Rugby League and in Australian Rules Football, and it's transmogrified out to 8, but some people are saying it rewards mediocrity. Others can see the bottom line in terms of dollars and bums on seats, that rules quite a bit in sport these days, bums on seats
and
the dollars.
Surprised me. In cricket, the pressure is on Australia's one-day captain Aaron Finch to score runs against India tonight.
Well, Fran, once upon a time, white ball cricket was Aaron Finch's forte, but since his unsuccessful foray into red ball cricket during the Test series against India, his confidence and form against the white ball has also suffered. He's averaging about 12 with the white ball since then. And with a World Cup looming, this has become highly problematic, the more so when you consider that waiting in the wings, someone who could captain the white ball side and the red ball side, of course, is Steve Smith. He's got a proven record against the ball, no matter what colour it is, even the pink one. So a problem for Aaron Finch and for Australian cricket to resolve tonight, Fran.
Well, the Matildas will be looking to shore up the defence in tomorrow night's Cup of Nations game against Argentina.
Yeah, look, Fran, as we saw in the 4-1 win over South Korea, the attacking component of the Matildas game is working fairly well. Samantha Kerr scoring twice. Lisa Devanna, using her words, got her legs going at the age of 35. It probably takes a little bit longer. Her shorts always look bigger than on any of the other players, don't they? They're not the longest of legs. And look, there's also Emily Gilnick's wonderful goal right at the finish from the angle. But coach Ante Milic, it's in the way of all coaches. They're not allowed to be happy, or not totally happy anyway. He's looking for more cohesion in defence. And he might get a little bit closer to that perfect set of happiness when Alana Kennedy comes back into the side. She missed the game against South Korea because of general soreness. The Matildas should secure the Cup of Nations against the Argentines, and that'll be a good move before heading off to the World Cup via a few more friendlies, which will be overseas. So tomorrow night's game, the last time, the chance to see the Matildas in action before that World Cup, friend.
And when's the World Cup? June,
that's right. June the 9th.
Not long now. We better get a song competition going, perhaps, I think. In basketball, a boost for the Perth Wildcats ahead of the NBL Grand Final Series. Mitch Norton might be fit for the first game.
Might, Fran. There was a lot of talk the Boomer would play in the semi-finals as Perth played mind games with Brisbane, successfully too, as it turned out. Now, he was apparently given right up to tip-off to be fit in one of those games, but in the end didn't play. And that's allowed his calf injury, these injuries that are always notoriously slow to heal, extra time to mend before the first final games against Melbourne United, who haven't won in Perth so far this season. So even without Mitch Norton, it's going to be tough for Melbourne United in the final series this weekend, Fran.
Okay, and I think the portents are good for Australian cycling,
yes.
Don't you think? That we could be a gold medal chance at the Tokyo Olympics after a very successful world championship in Poland.
Yeah, well, the young South Australian Alex Manley topped off a 10-medal haul for Australia when she won one of the final events in Poland, the 100-lap points race. That was her second gold medal, much to her joy, from the 5 days of competition, while Kylie McCulloch took silver in the Keirin. And, Fran, we have to mention this bizarre story from Belgium. A women's race had to be neutralised, that's the official term, after the lead rider, Nicole Hanselman, caught up with the men's race that had started 10 minutes earlier. And it's quite extraordinary, really. She and her fellow competitors had to stop racing to allow the fellas to ride off into the distance again. And when the women's race resumed, Hanselman was given a head start, but after losing her momentum because of the interruption, she ended up in 74th spot.
Yeah, I thought that was really rough.
Really rough. Well, anyway. Perhaps in some sports, the gap between the strength of men and women is closing, and cycling might be one of those.
Yeah, indeed, I guess. Warwick, thank you very much.
Good on you, friend.
Warwick Hadfield. It's 24 minutes to 8 on Breakfast.